All right, Saints, so today I'm going to be talking about discernment. This is going to be a short study just about discernment, where we see it in Scripture, how it's used, and as well as how we're supposed to use discernment, whether it be physical or spiritual discernment. So I'm going to start off. When you search the word discern, it shows up 23 times in Scripture, and I mean that includes discerning, discerneth, discerned, and discerner, all of those variations, a total of 23 times. And there are a few different Hebrew and Greek words used throughout Scripture, but in every case it carries a general definition, which is distinguishing and seeing the difference between two or more things. So in the Old Testament, we see the use of physical discernment with the eyes through observation, comparing physical things with physical. We see this in Job 4:16. It stood still, but I could not discern the form thereof. An image was before mine eyes. There was silence. I heard a voice saying. This is just a little excerpt of Eliphaz recounting his encounter with a spirit-like being. And he couldn't discern the form of it. So he couldn't tell what it was. He couldn't distinguish between the form and the things around it. So that's one form of discernment, is that physical discernment. But we also see the far more integral spiritual side of discernment, judging that which is good and evil, spiritual things with spiritual. And in the Old Testament, we see this, I think the best example is in 1 Kings 3:6-9. And this is where Solomon was praying to the Lord for wisdom, discernment, to help God's people, to rule God's people well. And Solomon said, "Thou hast showed unto thy servant David, my father, great mercy, according as he walked before thee in truth, and in righteousness, and in uprightness of heart with thee. And thou hast kept for him this great kindness, that thou hast given him a son to sit on his throne, as it is this day. And now, O Lord my God, thou hast made thy servant king instead of David my father, and I am but a little child. I know not how to go out or come in. And thy servant is in the midst of thy people, which thou hast chosen, a great people that cannot be numbered nor counted for multitude. Give therefore thy servant an understanding heart to judge thy people, that I may discern between good and bad. For who is able to judge this thy people, thy so great a people?" So we also see this importance of spiritual discernment, discerning good and bad, echoed in the New Testament by the Lord himself, rebuking large crowds of people who were following him for judging the physical things of the earth, the sky, but not seeing the spiritual things. And this is in Luke 12:56. "Ye hypocrites, ye can discern the face of the sky and of the earth, but how is it that ye do not discern this time?" And Paul also makes mention of spiritual discernment three times in his first letter to the Corinthians. So three times he mentions discernment, but I'm just going to give one example here. 1 Corinthians 2:13-15, "Which things also we speak, not in the words which man's wisdom teacheth, but which the Holy Ghost teacheth, comparing spiritual things with spiritual. But the natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness unto him, neither can he know them, because they are spiritually discerned. But he that is spiritual judgeth all things, yet he himself is judged of no man." So then, where does this sharpened form of spiritual discernment come from? We see in Hebrews 4:12, "For the word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit and of the joints and marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart." So the word of God is the exposer of that which is good and bad. It discerns what's good, what's bad, and those who are void of it will most definitely make incorrect judgments. Isaiah 59:9-10, "Therefore is judgment far from us, neither doth justice overtake us. We wait for light, but behold obscurity, for brightness, but we walk in darkness." We grope for the wall like the blind, and we grope as if we had no eyes. We stumble at noonday as in the night. We are in desolate places as dead men. And also in Isaiah 5:20, woe unto them that call evil good and good evil, that put darkness for light and light for darkness, that put bitter for sweet and sweet for bitter. There's a lack of judgment there. And Proverbs 17:13, whoso rewardeth evil for good, evil shall not depart from his house. So it's very important to discern everything using the word of God. And the righteous will do this. And through the application of the word of God, will always discern correctly. We see in Ecclesiastes 8:5, whoso keepeth the commandment shall feel no evil thing, and a wise man's heart discerneth both time and judgment. As well as 2 Timothy 2:15, study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing or cutting straight the word of truth. So we use discernment. We use the word of God because it is the source to discern the thoughts and intents of the heart. We use it to make every decision in our life. So in closing, Proverbs 31 verse 9, open thy mouth, judge righteously, and plead the cause of the poor and needy. So that was my study on discernment.
Awesome, brother. Thank you. I wanted to add a couple thoughts. I don't think you read this one. Hebrews 5, verse 14. But strong meat belongeth to them that are of full age, even those by reason of use, have their senses exercised to discern both good and evil. As you said, discerning between good and evil, a pretty important and valuable part of the believer's life. Amen, brothers?
Amen.
When I think of that verse, it makes me jump over to Philippians 4:8. People would say, well, how do you discern between good and evil? How do you know? Well, Philippians 4:8, we're starting with 7. And the peace of God which passes all understanding shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. How do we keep that? Verse 8. Finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of good report, if there be any virtue and if there be any praise, think on these things. So maybe we could talk about, like, how do you discern in the Christian life? What would you say to that, Brother Purgos? What's some of the keys to discerning in the Christian life?
Well, between what you and Brother Akuo said, there's, of course, the word. Then there's experience. It also says in Proverbs, wise counselors. So when your discernment is lacking, it's always good to ask trusted brethren for their opinion.
Right.
If any counsel for safety.
Yeah.
And unfortunately, sometimes the best discernment comes after you have made the mistake. But if you remember and don't make it again, it's not a failure if you repented.
Amen.
But it's a great reminder to not fall into it again.
Yeah. Amen. That's a great point. Sometimes you learn, unfortunately, we learn the best thing sometimes through mistakes. And if you maybe are alone and don't have anybody to help you, sometimes there's no other way around it. But then to learn to not do it again is good discernment, is it not?
It is.
Yeah. How about, was there any verses that come to your mind, Brother Purgos, about this topic?
Well, I actually was thinking about the discernment of taste in Hebrews, but you got to it first, brother.
Ah, okay. Yeah.
I was also thinking about how that reaping to the flesh and allowing your thoughts to dwell where they shouldn't introduces darkness and a corruption of your thinking, which retards your ability to discern properly.
Yeah.
And also, bad company corrupts good morals. So while you were going through Philippians 8, Philippians 4, 8, about what to think about, I believe Paul, in one of his letters to Corinth, tells them to not be among those who would destroy their morals.
Yeah. Yeah, good point. Discern what association and what company you keep, huh?
Yes.
Yeah. Yeah, that's pretty important. Brother Kuo, what areas of your Christian life have you learned that you need discernment in the most? I know you got to discern almost everything, but like, where is it like really, really critical? What do you think?
I think in key areas of your life where it applies to like the, you know, we talk about like the five things you do in the Christian walk. I think those things really have to be discerned, especially the, our dealings with the world, like a job.
Yeah, hey, go over those five so anybody listening doesn't know those five we teach about.
Sure. So one is your bodily functions, sleeping, eating. You could probably throw work in there as well, but we're going to keep that separate. It may be, end up being six. Working, and then fellowshipping with brothers and sisters, then ministry, and then studying the Word of God, and... is there anything else that I'm missing?
The one we always throw in there is if you need it is restoring.
Oh, restoring. Yeah.
Yeah. And so those five, so go back to what you were talking about, discernment about those.
So it's really important to discern things, especially in the world, like a job, like, is this job, glorifying to God? Can I still glorify God in this job? Can I still wear what I want to wear, maybe act how I want to act? They're not forcing me to act a way that's contrary to the Word of God, whatever it might be. Will it choke out my schedule so I'm only focused on work all of the time? You have to discern all of these things because yeah. It's important, as well as maybe something like restoring as well. Like, am I restoring using the Philippians verse you brought up earlier? Thinking about good, pure, true things, maybe taking a walk in nature, maybe with a brother talking about the Word of God, or am I doing things like playing idle games or filling my mind with vanity? You got to discern those things as
yeah.
well.
Yeah, so you bring up a good point. Discernment, does it happen on the outside of us, and does it also, Brother Purgos, happen on the inside of us? That's like the two main things that we discern would be outside things and then inside things. Does that make sense?
How we interact with the world and how we interact with the Lord in our thought life.
Yeah.
For example, like casting down all imaginations that exalt themselves against the knowledge of the Lord.
Yeah. Yeah. So Brother Kuo just gave an example of discerning, like, okay, I'm going to go get this part-time job. Can I work at this company? Can I meet their dress code? Can I do this? Is this a good witness? I got to discern this rightly. So that's like an outside discernment. Give us an example, Brother Purgos, of like an inside discernment, something you have to discern about you, inside you, about your walk. What would be an example of that?
That would be, for example, how you choose to serve the Lord. That would be, as long as it's not sinful, the Lord gives us great liberty in how we serve Him and how we serve others. For example, if I wanted to do something nice for a brother, I would have to discern if what I'm doing could possibly be taken the wrong way, or if something I try to do nice for someone else could cause them to stumble, and to make sure if I'm also not practicing partiality within a group of believers.
Yeah. Yeah, that's a good example. Yeah, definitely. So it's definitely important to know that we discern both the outside things, like you were talking about associations and jobs and things like that, and then those inside things we have to discern, whether it be our thoughts or ministry we're going to do, or even, you know, where the Lord wants us to do ministry. All of those things take discernment. So, Brother Akua, what's the key to discernment, to good biblical discernment? What's one of the keys to it? What must we be doing?
The thing that comes to mind right away for me is hiding the Word of God in your heart, yeah. Basically writing it on your heart,
yeah.
And just bringing that to memory. Whenever you encounter a situation, the Spirit usually brings it up, or something into your mind. It's like, I don't know how I feel about this. Maybe I should check this and do it this way and whatnot. But yeah, definitely hiding the Word of God in your heart.
Amen. Amen. Brother Purgos, can you think of something else that is key to discernment?
Well, Brother Aku already mentioned it by the Spirit bringing things and discerning them spiritually,
yeah.
Of course. But the biggest thing is motivation. Is this to better me or to better another? That seems to be a key, because I believe in the book of James it talks about the wisdom from above and the wisdom from below.
Yeah.
And we use wisdom to discern things.
Yeah. Amen.
Is it something, is it isolating yourself from others? Or is it intertwining your life in believers for edifying and comforting them?
Yeah. Amen. Amen. Yeah. So by the Spirit and by the Word we discern all things. So let me read this verse. I don't think Brother Cool read this verse. Hebrews 4:12. For the word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even the dividing asunder of the soul and the spirit and the joints and the marrow, and of the joints and the marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. I don't, you might have read that. Did you read that one, brother?
I did, yep.
Yeah, okay, you did read it. And I, the reason I went back to that one is, isn't that interesting? For the word of God is quick and is, and then it says, is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. The word of God's a discerner too. It discerns, doesn't it?
Amen.
Yeah, it just, that's kind of an interesting concept to think about. So we're to be discerning. The Word of God is discerning. Is the Holy Spirit discerning?
I believe Paul talks in Corinthians about he does not even judge himself, but I think the Spirit judges him.
Yeah.
He's alluding to.
Yeah, so yeah, the Holy Spirit definitely is a discerner. And then let me see, you guys both sound like you're pretty sharp tonight. What's another word in the Bible we could use for discerning?
Judge.
Oh, yeah. That's a good one. That's one I didn't even think about. There's another one I'm thinking about. That's a good one. Judge. What's another one?
Maybe proving or testing.
There you go. That's the one I was thinking. So Brother Purgos had a good one. Judge, you were thinking what I was thinking, testing. So the Bible says we're to test all things. Isn't that like a form of discerning?
Yes, especially since Christ tells us repeatedly throughout the Gospels to not be deceived.
Yeah.
And if you tell, you won't be deceived. For example, like the false apostles that the church in Revelation discovered.
Yeah. Yeah, amen. Amen. Yeah, when you're looking for that word test, Brother Akuo said it, it doesn't really come up very, very often. I don't think it comes up at all. Prove is the word that we want when we're looking at that in the King James Bible anyway. 1 Thess 5:21, prove all things, hold fast to that which is good. So I like that. So we're to discern and we're to test all things. So that would be the intents of our heart and our motives. And then, of course, we prove and test our brethren, how they live, what they teach, you know. And then, we're proving and testing out the churchianity systems because we know how false they are. Somebody comes along, hey, I'm your brother. Well, we're testing that out to see what body they're with and what they believe. So we have a lot to test and prove out, don't we?
Amen. Christ, you'll know a tree by its fruits. So you can both use that for judging others, and you could also use that to say, well, I'm taking this course of action and I'm seeing these results.
Yeah.
So you could use it for yourself as well.
Yeah. Amen. Amen. Yeah. And this is perfect because I have a teaching audio I'm going to do. I'm probably going to do it tonight on proving and examining yourself. Those two go together. So this fits in here kind of perfectly. Hebrews 3:9, when your fathers tempted me, proved me, and saw my works 40 years. It's kind of interesting that they tempted God and then they tested him. They proved him and saw his work for 40 years as he fed them and gave them water in the desert. Pretty interesting.
I think what kind of going along with that thought kind of came to mind, it's kind of interesting that the Lord, when he was dealing with the Jewish leaders while he was here, was always trying to get them to discern correctly. Like, he would be doing these miraculous works, like on the Sabbath and whatnot, and they would be calling him out on that, and he would constantly have to correct them, rebuke them, and say, you know, and try to provoke them to discern, like, righteously, I guess you could say.
Yeah, that's a great point. So what would we call that? So they got in trouble with him because they said, hey, you're healing on the Sabbath. And then he said, hey, which one of you, your animal falls in a hole on a Sabbath and you don't dig him out, you don't pull him out. And so we have to discern what? Would we not have to discern spirit versus the letter?
Yes, God never intended for an animal to just sit and be miserable on the Sabbath when you could just lift it out.
Yeah. And it's like we teach people to obey the laws of man, but if your neighbor was bleeding to death, you'd probably speed to get him to the hospital quicker, wouldn't you?
Yes.
Spirit versus the letter. So we have to discern those things. And Brother Kuo, how does this fit into your topic you just did the other day? What topic am I thinking about?
Oh, no, I'm drawing a blank. Hold on, I got to look it up.
It starts with a P.
Oh, pragmatism.
How does this fit in, brother?
So I think pragmatism being basically a go-along, get-along with the world, it really has, as I was talking about kind of in the study, they're not using the word of God as the discerner of the thoughts in the heart. They're more using fleshly success,
yeah,
I would say, or like the numbers as a discerner of what's good and what's bad. So yeah, they're using, I guess, the wrong test thing.
Yeah,
I guess
they're not spirit led, and they're being led by more of the flesh, and they're not God pleasing. They're more of man pleasing.
Oh yeah, right? Yep.
It's like when they told Peter, stop preaching Jesus in the temple. And what did Peter have to do? Peter had to discern. And Peter said, I think we'll obey God rather than men. Acts 5:29. We'll obey God rather than men. And he kept preaching Christ. He had to discern that, didn't he?
Amen.
Now, if he would have discerned towards men, he would have said, I think we'll just obey the leaders and not do what God called us to do. So he would have discerned wrongly. So pragmatism falls right in that. People not discerning right from God's word, but they're discerning with their own corruption, their own flesh, and walking in the ways of the world, and they want to be man-pleasers rather than pleasing to God. Does that make sense, Brother Purgos?
It does. It's just... what thoughts and what they claim to be true and what their goals are. That's the difference.
Yeah. Amen. Yeah, they're not being led by the Spirit in the Word. They're being led by their flesh. And Galatians 5 tells us if we don't want to fulfill the lust of the flesh, walk in the Spirit. And is the Spirit always going to give us and lead us to good discernment?
Yes.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. So, yeah, good topic. Any other thoughts from you, brothers, on what we talked about here, discernment? But I guess, okay, I'll ask you this. I'll put you both on the spot. So how would you tell a brand new believer how to sharpen his discernment? What do you do? What do you do to make your discernment better? We'll do one more question.
Iron sharpens iron as man sharpens man. So you could look at other people's discerning of things to help refine your own, and also testing other things continually.
Amen. Amen. Good one. Brother Kuo, how about you?
The thing that came to mind for me was getting out in the world and witnessing the gospel, I think, really helps as well. You start to really see the poor discernment when you bring truth to people or you bring the light to people. You start to see that people can't discern righteousness from evil very well, and you start to really like get a grasp on like how narrow the way is, and then it helps you discern a lot more.
Yeah,
like I guess sharp.
Yeah, I get it. So like, you learn good discernment, and you see how bad discernment is. You know what that's kind of like looking at a yellow $20 bill and going, that ain't a $20 bill. This is a $20 bill. So the deception, once found out, is pretty easy to point you to the genuine.
Yeah, yeah.
Right? See, when you see the poor discernment, then it helps you sharpen your own discernment. And really, if you think about it, how did you even know that they had bad discernment? Because you have good discernment, and you're sharpening your discernment, and you're testing all things. Otherwise, how do we know that which is good or evil?
Yeah, amen. Yeah. And I think learning the Word of God, studying to show thyself approved, will only help with your discernment, because then you can bring into remembrance everything the Lord said and apply it to every situation.
Amen. Amen. Good point. Good point. Anything else, Brother Purgos?
Well, just praising the Lord because He gives every person a conscience that is like an internal compass that gets to some very broad truths. But using the Word of God and the Spirit, you can actually find the narrow path. So praise God for giving all men a conscience, even though the heart is deceitfully wicked. Paul also talks about the Gentiles being a law to themselves and their conscience being, for example, double-minded, either accusing or excusing them. But that gross guidance from the conscience is a godsend.
Amen. Yeah. 2 Peter 3, he wants none to perish, so that conscience is there to guide people to the truth and the way, isn't it?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Amen. Amen. Good stuff, brother. So I guess we'll leave it right there, and we will add this to the Ecclesia area, and that will definitely edify others. Good job, Brother Kuo.
Good job, brother.